The Jerry DePoto Show, presented by Seattle Pump and Equipment on Seattle Sports.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing today?
Yeah, we're doing all right. It's another Thursday. I much prefer winning, especially on Wednesdays.
Yes.
But it's, today's a new day.
We prefer when you win on Wednesdays, too, to be honest with you, and I guess every other day. What, unfortunately, obviously, you coming off this sweep, which went in the wrong direction, and want to talk about really the whole week and some of the positives and some of the negatives as well. But, you know, as you look at it, what is the biggest challenge for this team right now?
Just finding consistency. And I think it's been a little bit of an up and down start to our season. And you know, in a 3-week season, the last 2 weeks, we're playing about as middle of the pack as you can play. You know, it's three up, it's three down. We're 500. It's just finding that good traction, and you feel good about winning four in a row, and then you give it back. I'm pleased with so many things that we're seeing, but it's just uneven. You know, we've got a number of guys off to very good starts, and then a number of guys who just aren't contributing much at all, and somewhere we need to find a better balance.
Yeah, if you were to point to some of that inconsistency, what would be some of the factors that have played into the team just maybe not being as consistent as you hope?
I will say that over the last 2 weeks, our pitching, in my opinion, our pitching has been very good to better than very good. I think we number one pitching staff in baseball for the last 2 weeks in terms of WAR, and we've done a very good job of creating soft contact. We got back into, you know, what we do and dominating the strike zone. Four of our starting pitchers have been clicking on all cylinders, really, and I thought Marco's outing yesterday was really one of his best in the last, you know, couple of years. He was awesome. So the pitching has been everything we could hope for. The offense, we have played about middle of the pack. You know, we've been an average offense. Where we have struggled is hitting situationally. And, you know, that's been a bit of an issue in the times, years past when we've struggled. And it continues to be an issue with this club is the consistency, fight, getting the runner over, getting the runner in. And I think that's what's really getting us in the late innings or the extra innings is the inability to consistently do that.
So as a in your case, the president, but even as a manager, as anybody in management with the team, what can you do about that? Is there a philosophical difference? Is it an execution thing? Is it a teaching thing? What can you do to help that?
Our players know it, you know, and sometimes, and I've lived this in my life, and I know, you know, Scott has, we've talked about as players, you know, we've all gone through struggle and you know how to do it. You are good at executing these things. These guys are the best players in the world. And sometimes you just go through a small sample size funk. And, you know, as I said, when I walked into Scott's office yesterday morning, you know, weird things happen, and I might not have used those same words. Weird things happen in small spaces. And, you know, when we're talking about sample sizes like these, that's what we have to deal with. But, you know, we're not doing the consistently doing the things that the good teams do in those late innings. And I think it was the juxtaposition of the extra inning game with the Brewers the night before last when in the extra inning, the left-hand hitter comes up, hits the ground ball to the right side, moves the runner to third, and, you know, they get him in. And we're just not doing that thing quite as routinely as we've done it in years past or when we're our best.
How does this unusually cold April, I know we're used to wet and dark Aprils at times, but this one feels unusually cold. Do you feel like that's impacting some of the newer bats?
It is. And it's they know, you know, this will pass. The weather will warm. The other team is hitting in the same conditions that we're hitting in. Our pitchers are doing a phenomenal job. I have always believed it is easier to pitch in the cold than it is to hit in the cold. It's hard. It's hard to hit in the cold. it's hard on your hands, and to do it day after day with no reprieve is not easy, but you have to find a way. And, you know, we're not doing that as consistently as we'd like. I am pleased with, you know, the start that we've got. The top six in our lineup are doing good things. And, you know, J.P. Crawford is getting on base, you know, 35-40% of the time, which is great. We just need to build that bridge from the top six to the bottom to consistently churn. And our run scoring has been, you know, very ordinary. We've been average, which is kind of where we were last year. And we do feel like there is, if we can build that bridge and really get guys going, it stands to be a very good offensive club. We just have to get to that point.
So do you have enough offensive weaponry now?
No, not the way we're swinging the bats. You know, I think there's a hole. We consistently wind up in a position where we have players that have not gotten off to good starts, and the wheels landing on their spot in the order with an opportunity to do damage. And you know, it's hard on players when that's happening. And the answer to the question and how do you solve it? You wait it out, because these are good major league players who have performed in their careers, and it's happening around the league with other teams as well. We're not the only team that has gone through this type of struggle, and won't be the last in the early part of the season. We have to grin and bear it and get through it.
So as someone in your position, how do you handle and deal with or explain even a player coming to a new city and doing something completely differently than they've always done? And sometimes that's the positive, right? It's Eugenio Suarez showing up last year and being a really, you know, surprising addition, or Ty France, who becomes even better than what you had seen. And then sometimes it's, you know, Jesse Winker last year, whose numbers didn't equate to what they had been in the past, or this year with Colton Wong, his OPS is like 450 some odd points below his career average. How do you deal with that and account for that in your job?
You know, again, you just chalk it up to small samples. And then when it becomes a bigger sample, you have to figure out how to solve it. But in small samples, all you can look at is the player's process. You know, what is the process? What pitches are they swinging at? You know, and this is where I continually go back, especially with Colton. But, you know, I think it's unfair to point to Colton as we have a number of guys mm-hmm. who are struggling and underperforming their career norms. And, you know, Colton's one of them, but the pitches he is choosing to swing at, and that's really all we can look at. He's swinging at the right pitches. He's taking the right pitches. And, you know, his process has been good, which tells me that it will turn. You know, there's really nothing about the way Colton's going about it that is wildly different than in any other year of his career. And he is a good player with a very steady track record who I think will turn it around.
Has that been true of some of the other guys who have also been struggling? It's funny you kind of said there is more than Colton. You're absolutely right. And Brock and I were going through this earlier today. You know, there's only four guys right now on the team whose OPS this year is higher than their career OPS. Everyone else is lower, not always a huge amount lower, but that's a pretty significant amount. Are you seeing some of those same positive signs with some of the other folks who've been in that 7 and 8 spot?
You know, with some, yes, with some, no. And, but the, you know, at the end of the day, that's all you can really judge. And in such a small sample as we have to deal with right now is to just dig into their process. And, you know, I am certain that Teoscar Hernandez will walk again. You know, I am certain that our 7 and 8 hitters are not going to run, a BABIP in the low 100s for the season. It's just not the way baseball works. And we talked last week about the struggles of our DHs, and it has been a struggle. Our DHs are running a batting average on balls in play that is nearly 100 points below the 29th team in the league. So it's, again, not something that it's sustainable in a good way for us. It's just not likely to turn out that way. And, you know, it's a lot of those guys, you know, entering yesterday, AJ Pollock was hitting the ball hard close to 50% of the time. And, you know, and at some point, and I said this, you know, when we spoke about Colton a week ago, I say it now, at some point, no matter how many years you have in this league and no matter what type of success you've had, you start to press. You start to feel, you know, the eyes on you. You start to feel like, I need to get something done here. And then you get outside of your game, and that creates a slump. And, you know, it's tough to – you're going to have a bad week. You're going to have a tough 10-game run. That's just the way baseball works. But these guys are – These guys are experienced, good major league players that have done it for a long time, and I have faith that they're going to get it on track.
Jerry, there may or may not be someone on the show unit that has put a new app to help the family budget, you know, and to figure things out and to make sure where everything is going and have a little bit more structure. You have told us in the past, I've listened to baseball people say, I don't look at these numbers 10 games in, 20 games in. It's usually 30, 40, maybe 50 games in, the old adage. You talked about that sample size, right, and small sample size. In your mind, when does the small sample size become a big enough size to really evaluate?
Well, I think that we've talked about this in years past. It's you try to break the season in thirds, you know, and somewhere in the mid, late part of May, you assess, you know, what has transpired with your roster. By midseason, you're going and you're trying to figure out, all right, what can we do to solve the, you know, to plug the leaks? And the last third of the season is let them play. So assess, fix, you know, and then just watch it go. And hopefully we've done that, I guess we've done that effectively throughout the years. And you know, we knew when we started the season that there would be some need to fix. And it could be a leak that springs in the bullpen. It could be, you know, a struggling hitter in the lineup. It could be the need to replace a player due to injury. That's why we have jobs and why we have scouts and analysts are constantly looking at what exists in our minor league system, in other, you know, with other teams, et cetera. But you know, I don't think it's fair to point the finger at April 20th and say we need to go fix this. We have good players and we believe in the group that we have. And you know, but we are getting to the point with some of these struggles that perhaps, like we did in our bullpen, giving guys like Topa and Spire an opportunity. Perhaps it's time to give, you know, somebody an opportunity and see what they can do.
It does make me think about last year about this time. Date wouldn't work, but if you look at 20 games into the season, Cal Raleigh was hitting .087. He had a .490 OPS, and obviously we know where that ended up last year. So it, you know, it has to give you some level of, I don't know if hope's the right word, because I know hope's not a strategy, but some level of history to look back on and say, we have plenty of examples of guys who started off slow who have eventually come back to have really even great seasons.
I've done it myself, you know, and I know Scott has been in similar situations, and you know, I've been Colton Wong, I've been AJ Pollock, I've been, you know, Tommy La Stella, coming to a new team and struggling, and it's not an uncommon thing, and similarly, I've also been the player who's turned it around and gotten back on track, and I think players get to their water levels, and you know, right now we're just assessing process, and that's I know it sounds tired and not the words people want to hear, but that's really all you can do in the early going. But like Cal Raleigh turned it around, I'm going to take the over on, you know, the Mariners, the Padres, the Cardinals, the Phillies. These are not losing teams, and you know, but when you bite off an 18 or 20 game sample size, you're going to get a 20 game sample at any point in the year where they look like losing teams, and it just so happens that all of those teams, and I'm sure there are others, are upside down in the standings. I don't suspect it's going to look that way throughout the year.
You said Teo may walk again this year at some point. At some point, you'll probably win an extra inning game, but at 0-4 this season, it feels so different to seasons past, Jerry. I think for fans in particular, when you got to those extra innings the last couple of years, it was good. You're going to find a way to win those. As you just evaluate that extra inning component to it, anything jump out?
You know, the 0-4 in extra innings, that's an area where we've generally thrived. And I think we're 0-4 in extra innings, and in those extra innings, we've given up three hits. We've had an absurdly high number of intentional walks trying to navigate around what I can only qualify as really poor luck. You know, I think Justin Topa has been out there twice in those situations and has given up two ground balls that have gone a total of about 80 feet at 40 miles an hour. And you can't look at that and say, let's fix this. You know, he made his pitches. He controlled what he could control, and the rest just happened. What we can control is when we get that ghost runner is getting the runner over and then getting him in, which again has been a struggle for us. And we're better than that. And when we have been the best version of ourselves in extra innings, when we have been that chaos ball team, we're making things happen. We're putting the ball in play. We're creating, we're hitting in situations. And that's just what we've been missing at this early part of the season. And, you know, I think but it'll turn. You know, the league is not going to BABIP 800 versus Matt Brash over the course of a full season. That's not going to remain the case for us in late innings. We have good players with the ability to go get back on track. And I think over a long baseball season, it will happen.
Well, you talk about patience, and one way in which your patience is paying off right now is what we're seeing from Jared Kelnick. What have you made of his approach, especially in some of the big spots he's come up in?
Truly, since the day one of spring training, and if really going back before that, last September, what we saw in the adjustments he made when he went back to AAA for the final time last season, and then the way he went about his off season. He's just in such a good place. He's, you know, he emotionally checks away from the previous at bat. He locks in on the next one. He takes it pitch to pitch. He's matured so much in his approach, and he doesn't let the moment overwhelm him. And I'm particularly impressed by what he's doing right now in tracking the left-handed pitchers. You know, Scott has given him some opportunity. You know, yesterday against Lauer, it was a couple of days ago. You know, when he got Gomber, when you get the opportunity, you capitalize. And that's what JK is doing. And, you know, he's picking up spin in ways that you know, he didn't before. And he's evolving as a major league hitter. He's been, you know, by WRC Plus, I think the best hitter in the American League to this point in the season. And pinch me on that one. We're fortunate that he has done what he's done, because in some ways, you know, that has made the up and down nature of our first 3 weeks a lot more tolerable, because we're watching a young player break out and show you what he can be.
I think one of the conversations, Jerry, coming into this year as well, was some of the veteran voices that may have moved on and new, obviously some new pieces that have come in there. I would think that in some, a little bit of adversity, maybe a little bit of a slower start, than some assumed or expected, other voices could emerge, right? Through adversity or some hard circumstances, it actually gives you a chance to evaluate, okay, who are some guys here that are emerging? Who are some voices that are standing strong through some of this adversity? Have you felt any of that through the clubhouse?
Not really, because I don't really know that our team is viewing this as adversity. It's a pretty loose group, and this is, it sounds cliche, but 19 games in a baseball season, you're going to have, you know, the 8 and 11 runs. And I think that's the way our guys have approached it. And, you know, we've got a great group of guys. They work their tails off. We have a wonderful coaching staff. We have a good clubhouse environment. We do have a heavy dose of leadership in our clubhouse. And even some guys right now that are struggling that have typically been leaders, you know, whether in our clubhouse and or in clubhouses around the league and in places they've played, they're still doing those things. And, you know, it's hard to do that when you come to a new town and you're struggling. But, you know, we get that out of AJ Pollock. We get that, you know, Tom Murphy's not hitting right now, but Tom Murphy has always been, you know, he's a leader on the field. He catches a great game and he leads. And that remains the case today. And I don't think our players are approaching it. They're not at DEFCON 1. You know, they're at game, you know, they're looking forward to game 20 in a season that's been up and down.
Hey, just to get some health updates, we heard a little bit this week, but we're getting now towards the last week of April. Do we think we'll see Andres Munoz shortly?
Yeah, Mooney's already started his throwing program. You know, my understanding was in his touch and feel the day before yesterday, his final field pitch was at 98. So he's doing Mooney things. He'll get a couple of rehab outings before we send him back out on the major league mound. So, you know, we're not days away, but or hours away, I should say. But we're close enough. I think there's a reasonable chance that we may see Mooney, you know, in the month of April, but wouldn't want to pin it until we see how he reacts to getting out and throwing in live games. Dylan is now on his rehab assignment, and we're going to take that slowly. He didn't have a spring training and want to be really smart about just building him up so that we don't run into the same issues that we ran into with Andres. Not sure yet where we are in terms of a return with Robbie Ray. Still looking at him getting back out to the mound in the middle of May. And if that is the case, then it's about what we thought. But his rehab's going well. And we've had a lot of young players that have now returned. Guys like Cade Marlowe, Taylor Trammell are getting back in action, and that's helpful. And we do think we'll get Sam Haggerty back this weekend.
Do we know the story of the Trident? The genesis of the new home run Trident and where that came from?
Yeah, let me tell you, it's heavy. They're lugging that thing around. My understanding is our players found it online and ordered it, and it showed up yesterday morning, or was built yesterday morning by the guys down in the clubhouse, and I picked it up in the morning, and that sucker got a little bit of weight to it, but I think. In the world of celebrating the positive, I think it's so much fun, and it's so much fun for the fans. When the players are openly happy, exuberant, celebrating the win, celebrating the fun things that happen in a game, and I know a generation ago that was really frowned upon in our game, and I think in most others, but it makes the game so much more engaging, so much more entertaining for the fans, and the players have fun with it. So I think it was fun to see them break it out yesterday. I think it is now for me the top home run Shelly hardware in the league.
Wow.
Although there is something to be said about whatever the Orioles have going, the hydration station or the dong bomb,
hydration,
whatever they're using.
Yes.
There's some fun stuff in the league, which is it makes it more entertaining.
I mean, the Trident's cool. It's not as cool as the Great Britain celebration with the knighting and all that. That was unique and very over the top. But hey, last thing, Jerry, before you run here, did you ever pitch in Vegas?
Oh yeah, unfortunately.
What would it be like?
Place to pitch.
What would it be like if there is going to be a major league team there?
My guess is it will have to be similar to Houston, at least retractable roof. It's very hot. It's a hot, dry. The ground gets hard, and like the PCL in those days, when you have there was no reprieve. Everywhere you went, it was a wild offensive environment, and Vegas was among the most daunting. When you get in the heat of summer, if you're not able to control the climate, it would be problematic. But I will say this, and I don't know where it goes for the A's, but for them to find resolution and help put the franchise back in a good place. They have smart people who've historically done smart things, and I hate to see them struggle, and I don't mind them losing games, but I hate to see them struggle, and I think it'd be good for baseball to resolve the situation at some point.
Great, thank you, Jerry. Good to catch up with you and hear your perspective on where the team is at and where it's going. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thank you.
You got it, guys.